It's 8 o'clock. Wheelbarrow full of dicks begins right fucking now. Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. The first podcast transmitted via the FaxCast Fax Machine Transmission Service. Have podcasts streamed directly to your fax machine. Visit us on the web at faxcasts.com or dial toll-free 1-800-FAXCAST.
Hello and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined by my co-hosts, Napier.
Yo.
Drunkard STL on the Twitters.
What to do?
And via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Good day.
How's everybody?
I'm okay.
It's another week doing this.
I'd rather be watching the Blues game, but, you know.
Sorry to trouble you, drunk.
Oh, I got a big reveal for after our guests.
You have a big reveal?
Yeah.
That's a tease?
Yeah.
Napier! Yeah. Listen to Napier doing radio! You hear what he just did?
He did a tease.
I'm impressed. Yeah. Big reveal, huh?
Yeah.
There's news?
There's gracious news.
Gracious news?
Yes.
Can we
just get out of the way now?
Yeah, can you just whisper it to me?
Are you having a baby?
You're like throwing a bombshell at me here, guy.
A thing that I have been planning for the last 8 to 9 months has finally come to fruition.
Dude, drunk, hold my hand. This could be big.
Okay.
I'm scared. Let's hear it.
No, after.
No, tell me now.
I need to know.
I don't do teases, baby.
I got it.
You just tell me what it is.
I'm sorry. I can't.
Oh, my God. I'm on the edge of my seat here.
Well, I'll tell you after
Travis,
our guest.
Take a guess at what it is.
Mike, you're the father.
Am I the father?
I hope so.
Napier, are you pregnant?
I've been pregnant.
You've been pregnant?
Well, I've had male spood inside my butthole.
Oh, my God.
Does that count?
Drunk.
Yes, sir.
Napier's teasing something.
I know.
Yeah.
It sounds big.
On the program,
I don't know if I can contain myself.
This Eve, we will be talking to Chris Voss, right? Voss, V-O-S. I said right. I was hoping Travis would say, yeah, that's right.
Yep, that's right. Right.
Absolutely.
Actually, he's calling now.
Excellent.
The singer from the band, The Record Company, a band from California. Hello, sir.
Hello, is this Travis?
It's Mike, actually. Travis is on the line with...
Travis is here.
All right, how you doing, Mike? Chris.
Chris, thank you for being on the program. We actually played your song at the start of the show.
Oh, cool.
Chris is the front man of the band The Record Company from California, guys, right?
That is correct, sir. Los Angeles, California.
Yeah. And I don't even remember how I stumbled onto your music, but I've become a big fan of it. I listen to it on the Spotify, like, in heavy rotation.
Oh, well, that's great.
I wouldn't say there's been really like a week I haven't at least given it a listen. I enjoy it quite a bit.
Well, that's nice to hear. I'm glad you're enjoying it, man.
Do you have more stuff coming out anytime soon?
We just released our EP, Feel So Good, on Kilhurt it's on vinyl. And it's got a B-side on it, so that's available online. We have two EPs out on iTunes, that you can get. Well, I mean, they're on iTunes, they're on various other formats too. And then,
You don't sound like a band who's only been around a couple of years and only has two EPs out. You guys sound very polished.
Thank you. We've all been around the block, you know. I mean, been in bands, each of us have been in many different groups, and I think when we got together, we knew exactly what we wanted to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, kind of helped there. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you get asked a lot, you know, who you would compare your sound to, because I'm sure you don't want to be compared to anyone, but...
It happens. It's all good.
I described you the other day, I believe. I said that if music were a color wheel and blue was blue and red was like rock music, I would say like the Black Keys are more maroon and you guys would be like more purple.
We lean pretty close to the root of it all, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're we're definitely drawing influence from more of the, you know, we sit around and listen to old Stones records, Howlin' Wolf, but then we also listen to Stooges and a lot of Stooges, a lot of Velvet Underground. And, you know, we listen to a lot of, newer music too, but I mean, that's kind of like where we draw a lot of inspiration from. And, you know, just kind of like going back to a little bit closer to the root of things and just kind of sitting in that zone and just seeing what you can learn by really just absorbing yourself in records like that, which are records that I've loved my whole life, but like, just to really specifically use those as an influential palette, you know, to draw from, and just kind of sit there and go, we're going to listen to, you know, the real good songs that are raw and performed by artists who, you know, were coming from a real place inside, and that's where what we try to do too, you know,
right.
I mean, in our own way. We obviously, you know, we're doing it in a completely different way, in a completely different century, but that's kind of where we're coming from with it, you know what I mean?
Well, I was actually kind of shocked that you weren't like an older black gentleman, to be honest with you. Do you get that, or is this the first time you're hearing that?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I've
you don't
I've,
get
I've
oh,
heard...
you're a young white guy very often.
Well, I mean, it's happened. You know, I to some degree, I suppose. I was one of those guys that when I was in, you know, my voice like changed in like fifth grade, and it went from like, hey, what's going on? They're like, what's up? You know, so just the way it went, you know, and then like years of just screaming my head off have put a nice, you know, age to it or something. I don't know. But I mean, I love singing.
Do cigarettes help? Are you a smoker?
No, God, no.
No?
I used to, but no, I just can't. I can't do it. And pull it off.
I worry that some of like our great voices that were formed by cigarettes will go away when, I mean, cigarettes have kind of become kind of, what's the word?
Passé.
Yeah.
Smoker.
Well, I mean, you know, they definitely do change the voice, you know, and I mean, I have definitely been a man who's been known to smoke a few back in the day, but there was a point where I didn't feel like I was getting everything I could get out of my voice all the time, and I just wanted to, I don't know, and I also wanted to, you know, live for a while. So I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, it's one thing when it's 19, you know, there's just a point where I was like, you know what, I'm either going to keep doing this or I'm going to stop, and there was never a point where I was like, well, I feel like I'm better because I'm doing it, you know.
Plus, you probably can't smoke on stage anymore.
No.
part of the performance?
Well, and I don't know. Well, and I'm also, I guess this is, I don't know if this really means anything to anybody in the world, but I'm highly allergic to it.
Oh.
So that kind of, you know, that kind of also, I didn't know that when I was smoking, but I was like, boy, why do I feel like crap constantly? It's like, oh yeah, you're allergic to smoke. So maybe it affected me a little more vocally than it would other people, you know, just was something that the moment I got out of it. And when clubs like all stopped having smoking in there, it helped me out a lot. Like it was like night and day for me. And I had no idea it was affecting me so bad until I started being not around it constantly. I feel like I'm like going into like a goody two shoes land. You're stuck about
you just,
breaking glass.
It's a PSA for anti-smoking.
Yeah, I feel like I'm like, let's talk about kicking things over, breaking things.
Well, you make
up some ground here.
You say you guys have all been in other bands before, and are you originally from California?
No, I grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin.
Hey, that's where I'm at.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Not on a dairy farm.
I grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin.
I had grandparents that owned a dairy farm, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Did they have red tractors or green tractors?
If I recall, I think there was a busted red tractor on the property.
One busted red tractor. Yeah, see that? that's how when I was a kid, you know, there was always the everybody would debate about, you know, which was better, Ford or Chevy. Where I grew up, we debated about which was better, John Deere or International Harvester.
That sounds about right.
And in I believe in the first or second grade, when they asked me what I wanted to do for a living, you know, I remember this distinctly. I drew some musical notes, and then on the other side of it, I drew a tractor because I wanted to be a professional tractor puller, say, which I thought was pretty rad.
Also, you wanted to also play music? You wanted to do tractor pulls and play
music?
I was like,
music? I'm either going to be a musician or I'm going to be a tractor puller. I guess if I'd have grown up in the South, I would have like been like, it would have been like a rodeo thing, you know, but up in the North, we were, you know, we were doing different stuff up there, I guess.
Absolutely. So how did you guys all get together then? You said you were all from different bands. Like, how did you stumble upon each other? Cause you guys, you seem like you mesh, like it's, you know, all the bands that you've left behind good because this works.
Good. I'll tell you this. Those guys, I don't really know how to describe how it happened except for that it just seemed like it was supposed to happen that the three of us met each other, and not in any grand scheme, just like kind of like sometimes you meet, you know, in a way you'll meet some friends and you're like, yep, that just works, you know, and it was kind of that way with these guys. And I think when we all listen to the same records, we all love a lot of the same stuff. I mean, there are exceptions, but I mean, it's pretty much if somebody in, you know, in our group, you know, drops a needle on a record at late at night, it's going to be something we all are like, hell yeah, you know. So that has helped, you know, because collectively it allowed us to have a vision that that was uniform instead of like constantly, you know, shooting in every direction and not really staying to any one particular direction, you know.
Sure.
That's really important, you know. It takes time sometimes in a band to do that. We immediately knew what we wanted to do when we decided to do this band, and that was kind of what we just started going from there, which was, like I said, to go back to like the root and like really see how raw we could leave it. You know, what happens if you record something completely live and put it on a record? I mean, like, in, you know, you just do it the old way. You put a couple microphones in the room and you let it rip. And we did that for a while and then kind of evolved the sound from there, you know, and we're still evolving. We'll evolve, you know, hopefully forever until it's over, whatever that is. You know?
Are you guys doing any kind of major touring or anything? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we did a bunch of Canadian dates last year. We've been up and down the West Coast a bunch. We haven't announced our summer schedule yet, but we'll be coming through the Midwest in August. I'm sure we'll be through all those areas there. We're going to be up in Canada in August, like in Ottawa, Montreal, and swing down through New York. And but for the first part of this year, we kind of just took it all back home and just were like, you know, we're going to concentrate on playing Los Angeles and the surrounding areas and just really just hammer it home here for a little while and maybe write some more songs and just kind of take it all back home. Because the first 2 years, we kind of came out of the gate where we were just playing a lot and recording a lot. And then, you know, we started doing some touring kind of early on in the band. And it's been nice for the last like 4 or 5 months to kind of take it back to growing the sound again, you know, changing things and trying new things and writing new things, you know.
A lot of the press stuff for your band that we were reading about that you sent over had stuff regarding like the usage of your music in like commercials and in movies and TV shows and stuff. Is that something that happens organically or?
Oh no, I mean no. I don't think it's just like anything else. You have to actively, you have to have somebody actively approach you.
Yeah,
we've been fortunate enough to have some really, you know, a couple of really good things happen for us, and good people helping us out and working with us in that area. Being in Los Angeles, that's kind of, you know, there's a lot of entertainment out here, so you get a lot of views on things that you otherwise wouldn't, you know, maybe be so in the neighborhood of them. You'd be at the bar and somebody next to you is talking about something that, oh, hey, oh, yeah, well, we play that kind of stuff. Oh, you want that for a TV show? That's cool.
Is that something that's profitable for you, or is that just, like, for the exposure?
I mean, it's profitable. You know, I mean, it's just another stream of income for a band, you know.
Right.
And it's exposure, and it's, you know, and you have approval, you know. It's like, it's not like, you know, everything that we've ever had our music on, we've been totally cool with.
Yeah.
We've been totally, like, excited about being a part of it, you know. You know, we've been fortunate to have the luck we've had, and to have had some good people pushing the stuff around to some people who thought it would fit their shows, you know. So it's kind of a thrill, you know. I mean, being from the Midwest and being from, like, Wisconsin, and, like, being not even just Wisconsin, but being, like, growing up in kind of, like, really a very rural, it's a far, and it seems like a very far removed thing to have happen.
Right, and we're like in this age of accessibility to where, I mean, you know, you guys are in California, you have a couple of EPs, and you're fairly not, I mean, you're not getting, like, much radio play in St. Louis. And just that, you know, I can stumble onto you and start telling my friends about it. It's like this varying stages of make. I mean, like, you know, the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, and that was like, you know, oh, well, now everybody knows about the Beatles. And
right.
It's weird that now there isn't really something like that. I mean, now there's just.
No. Well, I mean, there's still things that can help a band, you know, but
yeah, but there's like a lot of
pretty big leap. Yeah, but there's a lot of, you know, because of everybody being able to kind of control and having you know, kind of equal ground in some respects to release music, obviously not taking into account like a press budget or anything, but just being able to be, you know, be able to put out a record and have someone in Germany find it. That's crazy. You know, that was not, you know, without a label or without anything, you know,
right.
That's certainly exciting. There's a lot of, you know, there are a lot of great bands, and that's another thing that's exciting. It does make it, you know, you as a band, you have to stay on top of getting your stuff out there. It's just like any other thing, that you do in the world these days. You got to just keep going out there, and you have to keep putting your music out there and keep releasing material and touring and just doing whatever you have to do to keep the blood flowing, if that's, you know, if that's what you're looking to do, which is, you know, we're obviously in a situation where we're trying to play as frequently as we can, put out as much music as we can, and you know, do it in a way that we think holds to our ideas of what we should sound like and what we should be about without compromising that. Any integrity or anything like that, you know?
The internet age has got to help that a lot, too, because, like, I'm a fairly new fan. Mike was raving about you guys, and he had just sent me a link to your Bandcamp, where I played a couple of songs, and I was instantly hooked, you know? So I've, in turn, shared the link for your Bandcamp so other people, and I have not had one person that didn't walk away from that a fan. And that's not, you know, trying to... It's just the fact that the accessibility is there. It's a different way to access your fans, and if people don't like your stuff, they can walk away. But if you do actually find that fan base, they're going to share your links. They're going to share your music, and that's how you're going to develop a fan base in this day and age. I don't think ABBA was going to be able to do something like that.
ABBA. Is it ABBA or ABBA? I always thought it was ABBA. I don't know. Is it I? I almost
tomato.
Glad I don't,
tomato.
I'm almost kind of happy we don't know that. But I mean, I do that for bands too. You know, I mean, I'm passionate about local music, regional music, bands that are from all over that come across our path. And I do the same thing you're describing there, which is, you know, from being inside the band, I can say, hey, thank you for doing that. That means a lot. That to, you know, when somebody takes the time to pass the music forward, and that's the whole idea, and that makes me happy, very happy to hear it. And but at the same time, being a fan of music, I like to do the same thing, so I can completely understand being on both sides of the ball with that, and I think it's a great thing. It's giving, just gives people that are recording in basements and in living rooms across, the world an opportunity to have some fun and to maybe have some more, some more ears available to them than ever before, which I think is great. I think it's a great thing.
Well, and the best thing about this whole thing is this is going to be like the ultimate hipster cred for me because, in a couple of years when you guys are a big deal, I'm gonna share this with people and say, dude, I had these guys on my show. And I have proof. I'm going to be sharing this link in 3 years. I watched a documentary last night, actually. It was called Mistaken for Strangers. And basically it is the guy from the National invited his brother out on tour as like a roadie.
Oh, how is that?
It's actually really good. But he asked a question to one of the guitarists that I think I'm always going to be interested in. Whenever I go to a live show, I'm always going to check for this. He asked the guy, when you go out on stage, do you carry your wallet with you? And I thought that was interesting. So, Chris, when you go out on stage...
Are you asking me if I carry my wallet with me?
Do you bring your wallet out on stage with you, or do you, like, leave it backstage?
I bring it out with me.
You do?
I take it, the first thing I do when I hit the stage is I go back to my amplifier and I flip the standby switch and I take my wallet out and I throw it behind the amp.
Oh, really?
Yep. Not anything I've ever discussed before.
Right, I think
that... And if to anybody who comes to a record company show, I don't keep anything in there anyway, so don't, there's no reason to try and, go behind the amp and find the wallet because it'll be a waste of your time, but,
I just know that from now on, whenever I go to a live show, I'm going to be trying to see if the guy has his wallet in his back pocket or not.
So you're going to be staring at asses all day?
Well, I mean...
I guess.
That is a new thought. I had never even really considered that. Even more importantly, do you take your cell phone out and what do you do with that? Because the wallet doesn't suddenly have your, somebody like your cousin call you in the middle of a show and you've left it on top of the amp and you forgot to flip it on to silent and then the amp starts going.
Yeah, it makes that sound.
So it's like.
Then do you do it? You incorporate that sound into your music then?
Yeah, it doesn't really fit in with our sound, I generally will take that out of my pocket and turn it off as well. Just since, seeing as we're going there, I might as well just disclose all pocket things.
So your pockets
so there
are empty
no when cell phone or wallet on my person when I play. But that doesn't mean anything, it's just the way I roll.
What's the best website for me to, I guess, just therecordcompany.net, right?
Yeah, that's a great place to go. You want to hear the tunes, you can go there and get any information you want. Hit on the email list, and you'll be able to know when we're coming to the area or whenever we're releasing material. That's the best place to go, to therecordcompany.net.
Cool. Thank you so much for being on, Chris.
Of course. It was my pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, and we're going to go to break with... I don't even remember what song I put on here, but another one of your songs. Cool. We'll be back in five. Thank
you.
You
can tell them after it's over.
Oh. Okay. Come on, baby.
Reefer. You might remember me from such radio shows as Where Did My Beer Go? Beer, the only beverage needed. And the Mr. Producer Show. I'm here to tell you about a wonderful app available for most smartphones. It's called TuneIn. This app allows you to listen to over 60,000 different AM, FM, and internet radio stations such as Radio FUBAR. You can download the app in your app store for free or go to TuneIn.com. You can download the app in your app store for free or go to TuneIn.com. TuneIn allows you to listen to our insanity anywhere.
All right.
Hello, welcome back. Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks, internet radio program. To contact the show, 309-740-1430. Or you can Skype the program at WFO Dicks or at Radio FUBAR. So you have a variety of options to get in touch with us. And again, check out the record company at...
Oh, my microphone wasn't on.
Good job.
Mine was.
So to contact the show, please dial 309-740-1430 or contact us on the Skypes at WFO Dicks.
We all went and saw the Captain America, and by we all, I mean me and Travis. Have you gone and seen the Captain America?
No.
The new one's quite good.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, I went with my lady.
Oh, okay.
I didn't go with Travis. Travis lives in fucking Wisconsin.
Why not? Why didn't you go see it together?
But we were.
You could have like Skyped while watching the movie or something.
We were enjoying the Captain America, and we were talking about it. And Travis was talking to me about how when the first Captain America came out, in foreign markets, they didn't call it Captain America. They called it just the first Avenger.
The first, yeah, right. They actually had the option to call it the first Avenger. I know there's a handful of countries that took it and a handful that didn't. But it continued on through... the Avengers movie, like most places that outside of the United States, it was called, instead of Marvel's The Avengers, it was called Avengers Assemble, which I don't understand why the name changed there. But it was, that's not the only one. Marvel is pretty notorious for changing things for foreign markets. I know actually bringing up Captain America 2, it made, like in its opening weekend, it made $96.2 million in North America. But worldwide, it made $303.3 million. So they have very good incentive to change things for foreign markets.
Mm.
Like are money?
Are you saying that a bunch of people in a bunch of different countries wouldn't watch Captain America?
No, I would assume not. Well, I don't know if a bunch of Taliban leaders are lining up at the motion picture theater to see Captain America.
Well, I don't think they have money for motion pictures.
They probably just walk in.
Yeah, it's old Bananarama tapes and like VHS copies of ABBA Gold in concert.
Is it ABBA or ABBA?
I always said ABBA.
I always said ABBA too. But no, they've done that. They actually like the biggest change that I saw, especially in terms of Marvel, was Iron Man 3 actually filmed a bunch of scenes that were only available in China, where it debuted before it came to America, and they like shoehorned in a bunch of Chinese like superstars. One of them was playing a doctor. I think it was when they were taking the reactor out of Tony Stark's chest, and the guy's the superstar from China. His name is Bing Bing Fan.
Is that a real name?
That's a legitimate name. The two guys they shoehorned into Iron Man 3 for the Chinese audience was Bing Bing Fan and Zwacky Wang.
That sounds like our kind of people that we need to have on the podcast.
How dare they cut that out of the North American release?
I would watch that. But they played Dr. Wu and Wu Jiaki, so it's not as good as Bing Bing Fang and Zwacky Wang. Apparently they're talking about they're going to release it on future Blu-ray releases, apparently, but I actually watched one of the scenes online, and it adds nothing to the movie. It's just trying to put a bunch of Chinese people in so more Chinese people would watch it.
Did it work?
Yes, it did. It made a shit ton of money.
Well, fair enough. I mean, guess you don't shoot the golden horse when his dick is lined with gold.
But looking, like after looking into that a little bit, I saw that there is a handful of movies that they also changed, not just Marvel movies, but there's quite a few movies that actually changed titles or changed something about them. Not just the censorship portion of it, but, you know, just content for foreign markets so they can pull a bunch of stuff. Like the genius change from Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle to Harold and Kumar Get the Munchies.
Well, I don't think that foreign market people even know what White Castle is, probably.
Well, they do now that they've seen the movie.
Right.
I mean, where did they go to? Get the Munchies? That doesn't sound like a real restaurant anywhere.
Sounds like an excellent name for a restaurant.
The Munchies?
Get the Munchies?
That's not a bad name.
Yeah.
I'd go to the Munchies.
And you just have crazy stuff like Jack's Late Night Menu on there?
Yeah, just, you know, take suggestions. On
like what do you want to eat?
Right, what do you want to eat? Just tell me what you want to eat. I'll make it for you.
Whatever you want, we'll just put a whole bunch of cheese on it.
We got it here.
You want a crushed up bag of Funyuns that have been left out in the sun?
Would people confuse, if you called it the Munchies, would they confuse it with that 80s movie starring that little tiny puppet thing? You ever see that?
Oh,
the
Munchies. Munchie? Yeah.
Remember that?
I remember the theme song to that.
Let's hear it.
I was waiting for it.
When are we going to hear your bombshell? I hate to change the topic.
Whenever you were done pulling your meat down in the basement.
I'm having a really hard time finding the stuff that I was trying to find.
You missed a Napier bomb while you were down there.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
It was a horrible one. I guess they're all horrible.
So... Are we going to get this teased out?
Well, no, we're still talking about... Are we done talking about that?
I thought we were talking about Captain America.
We were talking about this tease.
I thought we were talking about the tease, too. I thought you were moving on.
I thought we were moving on to Mike pulling his meat down in his basement.
So this tease must be terrible. I guarantee you.
So right now we should talk about Mike pulling his meat, and then we should feed that into Napier's super surprise.
Was his butthole hungry?
So, Mike, what kind of meat did you pull from downstairs?
I didn't pull meat. I was supposed to pull clips of something and I didn't. So I was gonna go try to do it real quick. But now I can't find it.
And you failed.
So
yay, show prep.
So we'll just go straight to Napier's tease.
Okay. I'm gonna need my lady friend here for the big reveal.
Okay, there she is.
Lady friend and I have something to announce to the world.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And I want all of you to be a part of this with me.
Okay.
I have purchased a raccoon trap.
Anchor called it, man. Anchor called it.
Last week, okay... And Travis was here. Drunk was not yet here. We're sitting here.
I was
here.
On time. What are you talking about?
We were sitting here like 10 minutes before the show. Okay. We were just kind of quickly brushing over what we're going to talk about. And we got into the dead baby stuff.
Okay.
We did a lot on dead babies last week.
Yeah.
But we're kind of just brushing through it. I'm just kind of giving Napier the cliff notes of the dead baby story. And just in the middle of the dead baby story, Napier goes, "Oh, by the way, Mike... I'm getting married in July at such and such date, and you're invited. You and your lady friend are invited to our wedding."
Uh-huh.
And it just like came up in the middle of a conversation about dead babies, and it was the fucking most awkward thing I've ever experienced in my life. Me and Travis have been talking about it. Travis was on Skype, and like neither one of us knew what to say. It was like, okay, so back to the dead baby thing. It was so weird.
Welcome to the world of attention deficit disorder.
He could talk about that during dead baby talk, but he couldn't talk about, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this two-week-old Jennifer Lawrence story.
Fuck you, Drew. So my plan is I'm going to put a slice of peanut butter bread into this raccoon trap. And hopefully I don't catch stray cats. So,
hey, if you do, cats, you know?
Yeah, I know. Cats. Good eating. I mean, raccoon, cats, Whatever gets you dinner.
Possum, you know.
Yeah.
Skunk.
Oh, I swear to God, the night that I put this trap out, the only thing that's going to be going through my mind is a bunch of different activities I want to do with this raccoon, and I'm going to try to judge them. Like, is this act illegal or is it just frowned upon? And I'm going to play that game all fucking night.
So, you plan on torturing this raccoon?
No, I don't want it to be faced with the same torture he has given me for the past 8 to 9 months of living in my attic and, you know, shitting in my house. I mean, I'm not going to shit on the raccoon, no matter how much I really would like to.
But you'll piss on him?
I don't know which one would be worse. At least piss on the thing.
Well, I mean, like, have I knocked it out first? I mean, that's the same, you know, formality you give ladies when you pee on them.
So, how do you plan on killing this raccoon?
Oh, I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to take him out into the woods and release him.
No, you're not.
Yes.
He's going to come back.
Well, I mean, no, I'm going
to... Your house.
No, I'm going to get some chicken wire, and I'm going to, like, tack up some chicken wire in the hole.
So, are you going to take him, like, super far away? That way you know he's not coming back?
No, just down to the river. I mean, like...
You're going to have a raccoon in, like, a week. You're going to get a knock on the door, and you're going to open the door, and it's going to be the raccoon standing on its hind legs with a little top hat. He's like, hello, I think you accidentally removed me from your property.
Look, this little bastard has been in my house long enough that if he was a woman, we would be fucking legally married. He would be my common law wife.
Common law.
Yeah, he's been in my house long enough that he legally is considered my pet. Like if me and the lady friend were to get the divorced, we could actually have a custody hearing on the raccoon.
You should claim that coon as a dependent.
I'm thinking about it. Obviously, he's been eating well because he's getting so fat, like he can't crawl out of his hole. Like every night, I hear him like trying to leave my attic, and he's just struggling to get out of this hole. He's like kicking and screaming. It's like that Winnie the Pooh movie where he gets stuck in the hole, and everybody's looking at his big ass, and everybody's like poking him in the butthole, and like trying to get him into his little house. He gets stuck in Rabbit's little hole. And Rabbit's like, oh, don't get stuck in my hole.
I'm now prepared to do the news story that I was trying to get the things for.
All right.
Okay.
I'm ready for it. Travis, do you have that story up so you can fill in blanks?
It was a pretty short story.
There was an incident last night. This is like a local color thing. This is pretty close to us. There was a turf war between two ice cream trucks yesterday.
How'd it go?
They work for the same company. It was two ice cream trucks that met on the street corner and duked it out. And one of them has been doing the same route for like 16 years, and the other one has said, "No, this is my turf now." So he gets out of this ice cream truck, and he starts beating on the other ice cream truck with a bat.
Where was this at?
We have audio for it.
Sure.
Parker Road and Highway 367.
Oh, that's pretty close. That is by the crib for sure.
Turn around, Carl! Do you think it was like
Turn around, Carl! Like, it is my area now! Get out of here, Carl!
Eugene, stop smashing my SpongeBob bomb pops. Those are for the kids.
I'm done with you, Carl. Your reign is over in this neighborhood.
I've been here for a lot of years. I've been here for a lot of years, and I want to sell my Bob Pops.
Mommy, why are the two ice cream men fighting?
Do you see? Look at this. This SpongeBob.
It's Easter Sunday, Carl. Go home. Be with your family.
This SpongeBob has got bubblegum eyes. The little Susie, she loves that shit. You know, I gotta give that to the kids. It brings joy to my heart.
Mommy, make them stop fighting. This is how Daddy died, but it was cocaine.
broke my fucking bat. Ass. That's my good baseball bat.
That's my truck. What are you doing to my truck?
It's not ruined.
Not the ice cream cone.
He messed up his truck.
Yeah.
And he broke the siren.
At least the victim says he plans on keeping his route and that the other driver may lose his job.
Oh, fair enough.
It's not clear yet.
No, we had this guy that's smashing a fucking truck from a coworker. We're going to keep him around the kids and let him sell some push-ups. It's fine.
I thought that was really funny.
Do you think
it's funny that there's ice cream men out on Easter Sunday?
I can't believe somebody would pick
this
a fight.
This happened yesterday.
That's genius, though. If you think, like, there's a bunch of households that are just packed with kids and family members, and the kids are losing their goddamn minds, and they hear the ice cream truck, you think the parents are just going to start throwing money at these kids and be like, get the fuck out of here and go get some ice cream and run around the block, you know?
Right.
I can't believe anybody would pick a fight over the area next to fucking... Parker Road,
right?
And the fucking highway,
like Chesterfield or something. No, this is like right there.
No,
in the not so nice part of town.
No, do you think though?
Oh, like, now this... I got the hiccups. Great.
I don't think anybody's fought so hard to get robbed at gunpoint in my entire fucking life.
This is how I envision this story like breaking out. You ever see Rocky IV? You know when Rocky was like had that protege, that Tommy Gunn or
that
whatever, and he was
five,
teaching him how
you.
To be like a boxer.
Drunk
I imagine
you,
that
Travis,
this
that's
ice cream truck. Rocky IV, right?
No, Rocky five. Rocky IV is Ivan Drago.
Oh, that's right.
Where he has to go to Russia.
I skipped Rocky III with Hulk Hogan and Mr. T. But it's like I pictured him like, you know, this is his protege. You know, he's teaching him how to sell ice cream like a champion, and then he just thinks he's better. He's got representation by like a Don King kind of guy and starts to try to take over the territory, and then it comes down to these fisticuffs. That's kind of what I, you know, envision this whole scenario, how it played out.
Seriously, the dude couldn't have found any better road off of that highway.
Well, and really, the ones who suffer here are the kids. Because all they want is their overpriced ice cream.
Yeah, and they're fucked
delivered
up.
To them from an ex-convict out of a really dirty van.
Do you remember those Ninja Turtle bomb pops that they used to sell with the fucked up
yes.
eyeballs? They always used to look like somewhat like Ninja Turtles, only they had Down syndrome real bad.
And
those
like their eyes were crooked.
That stroke face.
Those fucked up faces.
Drunk.
Yes, sir.
It's getting to be about that time.
And it's time for Ask Dr. Napier.
Questions for Dr. Napier. From Jay Adson. If I get bitten by a zombie and a vampire soon after, what do I become?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
Well, I mean, if you have sex with a broad that has the AIDS... And then, like, an hour later, you have sex with a broad that has the hepatitis. One doesn't win out over the other. You're kind of both.
I don't know. In that scenario, I think one would win out over the other.
But if you have AIDS and hepatitis...
You have AIDS and hepatitis.
I'm pretty sure if you got bit by the vampire before you turned, you might turn into a vampire.
No, I don't think the vampire will save you. I think you're just diseased now. You're like some curmudgeon of both, and none of the. It's like having a white mom and a black dad down in the south of Mississippi, back in the 50s. Like nobody wants to associate with you, neither the zombies nor the vampires. And then you got to go to one of those schools, and you don't get to drink out of any of the water fountains.
So, are you at that point? Are you a zombie vampire or a vampire zombie?
You have to ask Chris Rock from that fucking little kids movie where they were at the zoo and he was a zebra.
Okay.
What? Why would the zebra know the answer to that question?
Because is he black with white stripes or white with black stripes?
Oh, Jesus Christ. From Mandy Weaver, what gives a brony a bony? She was really proud of that, by the way.
Oh, good job.
Like, she was really excited by that. What gives a brony a bony?
The Lyra fuckable plushie. It's this little plush doll for kids, but somebody hollowed out the ass end of it and installed like a vagina, and you put your fleshlight in there and your lube, and then you can fuck the plushie.
From Indio Techno, since I cannot determine when lightning will strike, and I don't have any plutonium, how can I generate 1.21 gigawatts?
I would say show Mike a picture of a whole bunch of feet, and just have some cables attached to his left wrist, and you'll get there pretty quick.
Because I like feet.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying?
Mm.
Or I could have just said attach it to his fingers when his butthole's itchy. If Mike had on rubber gloves while he was itching his butt, it'd smell like one of those Formula One car burnouts.
From Anchor Babcock, is Mike going to be the best man at your wedding?
There will be no best man, as I am the bestest of all men. So, I mean, he's got to compete with this, and I don't think that's happening. At least not in a hog contest.
Oh. Oof. And from Jim Chadman, which cast member would treat a prostitute the best?
I think Drunk would.
You think?
Yeah, Drunk doesn't have a bunch of them in his fucking car.
I mean,
so some of us do have some in our car?
I don't know if that's accurate. Haven't I already stood up a prostitute?
Yeah, I mean, but...
No, she's not a prostitute. She's a pornographic film star. That's a totally
who's also thing. A prostitute at the Bunny Ranch.
That's kind of what I was thinking, though. I was... what I said was, you know, if it was like a scheduled time or something, then you would treat her the best because you'd probably just show up and have to pay her, like, when you're 45 minutes late. Just say, I'm sorry, I'm late. And she said, oh, well, you still got to pay me for my time. And then she doesn't even have to sleep with you.
Well, really, when you think about it, if you want to call a prostitute a whore and she says, no, I'm neither of those things. I'm a porn star. Aren't you kind of splitting cunt hairs when you think about it?
So probably not Napier.
No, no, not me. I do not respect women. Let alone those who have sex with money.
Travis, what do you think?
Out of all of you, who would treat a prostitute the best?
Well, I mean, you can include yourself in here as you are part of the show.
I'm not.
Thank you for correcting him, Drunk.
Okay, let me ask all of you a question. Do you thank your dishwasher when it's finished?
Yes, every time.
Yeah,
I actually do.
Yeah, see? None of you do. That's because Drunk has to wash his own dishes because he's unfuckable.
And that was Ask Dr. Napier.
Hey, you got Windows updates available.
I have a similar thing with the prostitutes. I had another great business idea.
Really?
I did. Actually, I have a new invention and a new business idea, but I'm going to get to the business idea.
Is this
first.
Like the Bacon Hut?
Check this out.
It's better than the Bacon Hut?
Busty window washers. BWW.
Uh-huh.
Just get a bunch of big titty broads.
Yeah.
And they'll go to residential homes, and they'll go to businesses, and they'll wash your windows with their big jugs.
Yeah.
And so, like, while you're working, you get to watch a chick with big knockers wash your windows.
Are they topless, or do they just have on the string bikinis?
Like, they're wearing, like, you know, like, white undershirts that say BWW on them.
Oh, so when they get wet, you can see their
like
candies?
They, and, you know, they get really into washing the windows. Busty window washers.
So it's like a Hardee's commercial, but they're washing
yeah,
their windows.
Yeah, it's like a Hardee's commercial, only like they just the show
best.
Up and wash your windows.
There's a version of that. Isn't there a version of like a national like cleaning service, like a version of that where they come over and like clean your house topless? Like some, what the hell is that called?
No, you're thinking of the Japanese.
Oh.
I swear there's something around where they come and clean your house topless.
Shake a shamash.
Merry Maids? That's not right.
No, Merry Maids is an actual cleaning
that's
service.
That's legit. Yeah.
But this is an actual cleaning service, too. They just do it without a top on.
Well,
fuck. Google.
Are they cleaning hogs? Or?
You're on your computer right now, Travis. You can just Google this.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do right now. No, it's probably like Vegas, where they give you the cards and say an escort's $59, and whatever you negotiate is probably up to you.
So
it's not a set price?
Well, I'm sure the cleaning service is.
Oh.
It's $60 just to get them out there.
Right, I think it'd be just like your busty window washers, where, you know, they're there to clean, they signed a contract to clean the windows of this office building, but if it just so happens that they will also blow a guy, that's negotiated on the outside of the contract.
Oh. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that's like, when you get cable and you kind of negotiate with the guy to maybe slip you a couple extra channels.
Here it is. Bustoutmaids.com.
Bustoutmaids.com.
Now, what are they local or?
It looks like they service most of the United States.
I'll be nice. Damned.
What could be better than sitting back and watching someone else cleaning your house or office for you? The only thing that we can think of is if that person doing the cleaning was topless or nude.
Ooh, or nude.
That's pretty legit.
Boom.
Yeah, topless, I don't really care.
No, nude is great.
I mean, you know, I mean, I like boobs. But I don't really care about boobs.
I would have one come over to clean my basement because my basement is absolutely filthy. And I assume that as a woman who walks around topless constantly, she knows how to, you know, not talk about somebody's nasty-ass basement. I would not acknowledge that she was naked at all. She'd just come in like, hi, I'm here to, you know, be naked in front of you and clean your house. Excellent. Well, let's go downstairs to my basement where there's no windows. And then just, you know, leave her down there like, wow, this is a really filthy basement. Like, yeah, well, get to work. And I just go upstairs.
Why do you have a padlock on the outside?
Hey, the help doesn't ask fucking questions. Like, who the hell is this topless whore to question my living conditions?
Okay, so anyway, busty window washers.
Busty window washers. That's the idea, man.
Yeah.
They come and they wash your windows.
Okay, so I thought you had said you had two ideas.
No, you have to change. First of all, you have to change the BWW tag because that's already a chicken wing place. Yeah. Can't do BWW. Oh.
Well, he's not selling food, so I mean, unless you're. Unless
yeah, I don't think that matters.
I mean, as a web presence, though, isn't that going to make a difference?
BustyWindowWashers.com.
Oh, okay. Okay.
My other invention is the Zip Me.
The Zip Me?
You know, when you're getting ready to go somewhere fancy with your lady, and like they have the zipper in the back and they can't reach it and you have to zip them?
Yeah.
What do the ladies that don't have somebody with them have to do? Like the single ladies that are alone getting ready for a date.
They need
like a little hook, like on a rope or something that they can zip themselves and then easily unhook it because you don't want to walk around with a
back scratcher.
No, something that'll hook onto the zipper.
Like how do you get
it off the zipper?
It's like on a little clasp. The Zip Me.
Well, I think your number one problem with that is. Ladies who don't already have someone to zip up their little skirts probably aren't getting out that much anyway to worry about it. They should probably just go out in sweatpants.
Well, like, you know, the fashionable, business-oriented... I mean, you see them in movies all the time. Katherine Heigl usually plays them.
Yeah, but I don't think they need... Like,
is she still alive?
Katherine Heigl?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I mean, like, you know, she always wears her, you know... responsible business attire because
when's
know,
the last time
she doesn't have time
movie.
For a man because she's too focused on her business.
She owns a lot of pantsuits,
right? And she's got to have something to
okay,
zip
so
up because she's an independent woman.
A pantsuit doesn't zip on your back, bro.
Was she going to go next door and knock on the neighbor? I mean, she's an independent woman.
Okay,
also,
but
Catherine,
think of what
that's
you're saying.
Probably humiliating for her.
Pantsuit is in the
she's
front,
a survivor,
not the back, bro.
She can do anything that a man can do.
Yeah, she can even be 5 years out of hot range.
But her body's so bootylicious for you, babe.
I agree.
The
Oh, she just killed your idea in one word.
Well, wire hanger's technically two words.
No, it's hyphenated.
She's not on microphone, so nobody even knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, but your face looked really disappointed when she said that word.
Napier's lady friend said from the couch, wire hanger. So
boom.
I guess that's
she should have added the boom.
What she would use for the zip me. I guess that would be the ultimate problem with the zip me is it's such a simple concept that it would be very easily just to make your own homemade zip me at home.
But yeah, but so is the pasta pot, that fucking cover with the holes in it. Well, you know, so you dump out the water.
So is the Snuggie. Buy a robe and put it on fucking backwards.
Right. Cut a hole in it, but people still spend $19.99 on that shit at Walmart.
And also the little thing that you put eggs into so you can microwave them.
Yeah, the perfect egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you could just put it on a plate and microwave it anyway.
Also those gloves that you can put on and still use your smartphone in the winter. I guess you
could just snip the finger right off that glove.
Yeah.
So you think it has a chance?
Well, anything has a chance when you market it to idiots.
Are you fucking kidding me? Did Anchor really find somebody that already made my invention?
Oh, Jesus.
Zip her, solutions for the independent woman. Are you fucking kidding? Anchor just made this website just now.
Oh, yeah. 2011, Dress for Success. 2012, Heroes and Heels.
Are you fucking kidding me?
2013, yeah. He just made this website.
Everything that could have been invented already has been.
If it makes you feel any better, that looks like somebody just put a key ring onto a string.
Well, that was my idea. Oh. I mean, that looks pretty much like it.
That just made my day.
Well, I guess
God fucking damn it. They're paying $19.95 for the Zip Her. And that's actually a way better name. Zip Her?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Okay, I gotta let's see if Anchor can find this invention. I have an idea. You know how you have to change your house filters? If you have that kind of heat, right?
Yeah.
Furnace filters?
Yeah.
So these furnace filters that you have to change out, obviously, every 30 days or however often you do that, they're scented. So when they blow the heat into your home, you can choose from, like, roaring campfire or cinnamon delight or
vanilla cookie.
What?
Vanilla cookie, yeah, or ocean breeze.
You know what would make that idea go from good to great?
Strawberry daiquiri.
What if it only started... I mean, you don't want an unpleasant smell.
Of course not. If
you have like a really pleasant smell like one of those, but it only comes out like when it's time to change them? Because that's my problem with the air filter.
That's nice.
Is I always forget to change them. And then like 6 months go by and I'm like, fuck, I was supposed to change that filter and I haven't in a really long time. When they go bad, you start smelling cinnamon. You're like, oh, I'm smelling cinnamon. It must be time to change the filter.
Or what if you always smell cinnamon and then when it's time to change it, it starts smelling like rotten fish?
Well, you don't want your house to smell like rotten fish.
That's why you change it.
Or you just don't smell it anymore, and that's how you know.
Excuse me, sweetie, do you smell wet, dank cunt? Oh, I guess it's time to change our air filters. Hold on, sweetie. Did a hobo's nut sack just come into the living room? No, it's time to change the air filters.
Oh, that's funny. You're funny.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, you should not have an air filter that smells like a roaring campfire unless you want to scare all your kids into thinking the house is on fire.
Right, that's true.
Stopped up and roll, you little bastards. Mommy's on fire.
The Lotus Cast interviewed a guy this past Thursday who made a porno American Idol.
Yeah.
Where like there's four judges
mm-hmm.
that critique a someone who's never been in a pornographic film, like it's their first time auditioning. And it's like they audition for fucking to be a porno star.
Yeah.
Oh god, it would be hilarious if they started out as anal and then just blast ass all over the audition floor. Because you know you got some of those bad singers they put on just because they're so bad. how about you get some chicks that don't know how to fuck properly in the booty, and they just, like, shit all over?
So I mean, what channel is this on?
I think it's going to be like an internet thing. Oh. But, like, there's pornographic film stars who are the judges. And it just it seemed like a great idea. And I can't – and we were talking the other day about how, like, you know, there's a American Idol only for a lot of things. And this is the next evolution in that. But I was wondering if, like, it would be in front of, like, a live crowd or – if, like, they bring the judge's table into, like, a bedroom.
That would be intense in front of a live crowd.
That live
like
crowd would
stage.
Be great. It'd be just like, it'd be like Seacrest, like, talking to them, and then they, like, do the music, and they would cut to the break as the chick is, like, ready to shit all over the stage.
It was another good name, though. The Sex Factor.
Oh.
Get it? Get it?
I bet the woman porn star they have that judges the thing smells like a balloon clown's hand.
Now, I'm not going to ask Napier to explain that joke to me because I think that he'll just make it more complicated. But if anyone else would like to take a stab at telling me what the fuck that means.
Do you mean complicated like your explanation of what the record company's music sounded like with the colors and shit?
Was
you mean that kind of complicated?
No, like in like a color spectrum.
Do you think that
like his eyes glazed over and he's like, oh my god, these retards. Like when I fucking asked Sausage if tattooing was like airbrushing.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm guaranteed at least one stupid fucking question per interview.
I really That's wanted perfect. To say that, you know, my grandma's
I'm just going to cut that out of the podcast. Nobody will even know I asked that.
Leave it in.
Yeah, you got to leave it in now. I mean, you're referencing it later.
Well, I'm going to cut this out, too.
I'll reference it in a bunch.
I'm not even
going to
release this show.
You're kind of
live
right.
only.
It's kind of released right now.
People do that now. They just do live only shows and then never
I heard
release
that's
the
thing.
Podcast. That's the thing now.
Why would anybody do that?
So that, you know.
All 10 of us can hear it?
Right.
Yeah.
4 on the show and 6 in the chat.
All of our fan will be disappointed that we didn't put it up as a podcast.
What other American Idol only for blank could we come up with? What have we not done yet?
I'm pretty sure all of them are taken.
Skeet shooting?
American Idol
no, they
only
already
for
do
skeet shooters?
They already do that. It's a Top Shot.
American Idol only for...
pedophiles?
Pedophiles, yeah.
No, that's a Chris Hansen show.
Like, you go out and whoever can manipulate enough children to get into their van
right.
moves on to the next round.
Well, then you'll have people cheating, like walking up to little kids with like chloroformed rags.
Well, I mean, however you get it done, right? As long as you don't get caught by any adults.
Didn't stipulate that.
But then the bottom three are then one of them is voted off by America.
And get arrested.
Oh, every time you're voted off, you get arrested.
Yeah, when you're voted off, you're immediately arrested.
Yep.
Hey, you... Pays your buck, you take your chance, right?
And then the winner of the show...
Gets immunity.
Gets the honor of being America's best pedophile, and then he is also arrested.
No, the winner is executed on TV.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he keeps all the ones that were caught during the show.
They just put them all in a stable.
You think that'd like freak him out too bad? Like, wait a minute. This is like 180 kids. I can't. Would you expect me to feed them? Like, yeah, he'd probably just freak out and leave. Like, no, every dude says that they want to be with like, you know, 10 bitches at one time, but you don't want to like live with 10 women at one time. Like those Mormon shows, where it's like one dude with like 10 ladies,
sister wives.
Yeah, it looks like a male version of hell. Like, your wish is fulfilled, yet you have to live it, like, every day. You don't, like, just get to leave, and then they keep popping out fucking kids all the time. You never know what to name them. So, like, 8 of them are fucking named Jebediah.
And not one of them is rated above, like, a 3 on the 1 to 10 scale of attractiveness.
Mm-mm. And they all look like a little inbred, like, you don't know how that happened.
they're Utah hot.
Yeah. And, like... all the women, like, none of them will, like, do it with each other. Like, you have to go to, you like, they sit in their, they demand their own room. They demand, like, a night a week with you. So you got, like, 10 broads, and none of them will, like, give each other kisses. So, yeah, it's a male hell. Like, you think, like, oh, well, see that dude? He gets to fuck 10 ladies. Like, no. That dude has to fuck 10 ladies all the time, forever, as they pop out his little kids that he has to feed.
And he has to fuck them independent of each other, so no crossover.
Oh, how would he pay for weddings and other things like that? Like, you think he just, like, goes to, like an auction house and they just, like, you know, pick him out? That's how they do the horses. That's how I do horses. Well, see you in hell, faggots.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Got done listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. We broadcast Monday at 9, 8 central on RadioFooBar.com. Join us on the chat or download the TuneIn app for your smartphone. Download us on Stitcher, iTunes, Zoom, or from WFODicks.podbean.com. Follow us, WFODicks. Follow us, Shauza, at PJKSTL, at TheRunkardSTL. We're also on the Facebook at facebook.com/WFODicks. Radio FUBAR has a plethora of fantastic shows. Check them all out and buy a t-shirt.